first. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manuvishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Tadati Svaparantikam Vandiham Shri Gurun Shri Yutapara Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vidamdam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vidamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Panamami Hari Priye Panchakalpata Rupyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantras Tasya Namaniyani Kamapekam Tasya Devasya Seva. So, welcome. Today we are again reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. We don't have the verse written on the board, so if you like, you can take one book from over there. It's in the second chapter, text number 14 and 15. So it's two verses. Should I chant the Sanskrit of both verses together for repetition, or like, do you prefer 14 or 15? Okay, I suggest we chant both together.
Matraspashastu kaunteya Chitushna sukadukada Magama bainu nityas Tangsitikshasvavata Yanghina vyatayantiete Purusham purushashaba Samadukha sukham dhiram Sumitavaya kalpate Matraspachastu kaunteya Shitushna sukadukada Agama payinu nityas Tangstitikshasvabharata Yanghina vyatayantiete Pushang Pushashabha Samadukha Sukham Dhiram Sumritadvaya Kalpate Matraspashastu Kaunteya Shitushna Sukadukada Agama Payinu Nityas Tamstiktikshasvabhavata Yanghina vyatayantiti Pusham pushashabha Samadukha sukham diram sumritadvaya kalpate. Matras vashastu kaunteya chatushna sukadukara agama payinu nityas tansitikshas vapavata yam hina vyatayantiti usham purushashava Sammadukha sukham dhiram Sumritatvaya kalpate Matraspashastu kaunteya Sutrushna sukha dukkaraha Agama payinu nityas Tamsatikshaspa bhagata Nahiya vatayanti te Purusham purushashavam Samadukha sukham dhiram Sumritatvaya kalpate Matraspashastu kaunteya Chatushna sukadukada Nagama payinu nityas Tamstitikshas vabhata Yanghina vyata yantyeti Pusham pushashavam Samadukha sukham dhiram Vayakam Sumritatvaya kalpati. Would you like? Matraspashastu kaunteya Chitushna sukadukada Agama payinu nityas Tanstitik shasva bhagata Yahina vyata yantiyete Purusham purushashava Samadukha sukham dhiram Sumritatvaya kalpate. Thank you very much. Actually, it's very good also for ourselves when we read Bhagavad Gita to chant these verses loud. Actually, I developed a habit anyway, I read loud, so my ears are also engaged in devotional service. But these mantras especially are very purifying, so it's very good to chant them. Also, it's good to get the metrum of the verses and to get familiar with the Sanskrit language. So I really recommend that. Okay. Matraspasha. Sensory perception. Shitushna. Okay, I'm sorry. Two. Only. Kaunteya. O son of Kunti. Shita. Winter. Ushna. Summer. Sukha. Happiness. Dukha. And pain. Daha, giving, agama, appearing, apayinaha, disappearing, anityaha, non-permanent, tan, all of them, titikshasva, just try to tolerate, bharata, O descendant of the Bharata dynasty, Yam, to whom? He, certainly. Na, never. Vyatayanti, are distressing. Ete, all these. Purusham, to a person. Purusharishabha, O best among men, Sama, unaltered, Dukha, in distress, Sukham, and happiness, Dhiram, patient, Saha, he, Amritadvaya, for liberation, Kalpate, is considered eligible. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki, Jai. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception or sign of Bharat, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Purport. In the proper discharge of duty, one has to learn to tolerate non-permanent appearances and disappearances of happiness and distress. According to the Vedic injunction, one has to take his bath early in the morning, even during the month of Magha. This is January and February. It is very cold at that time, but in spite of that, a man who abides by the religious principles does not hesitate to take his bath. Similarly, a woman does not hesitate to cook in the kitchen in the months of May and June, the hottest part of the summer season. One has to execute his duty in spite of climatic inconveniences. Similarly, to fight is the religious principle of the Kshatriyas. And although one has to fight with some friend or relative, one should not deviate from his prescribed duty. One has to follow the prescribed rules and regulations of religious principles in order to rise up to the platform of knowledge. Because by knowledge and devotion only can one liberate himself from the clutches of Maya, illusion. The two different names of address given to Arjuna are also significant. To address him as Kauntea signifies his great blood relations from his mother's side. And to address him as Bharat signifies his greatness from his father's side. From both sides, he is supposed to have a great heritage. A great heritage brings responsibility in the matter of proper discharge of duties. Therefore, he cannot avoid fighting. Text 15. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Purport. Anyone who is steady in his determination for the advanced stage of spiritual realization and can equally tolerate the onslaughts of distress and happiness is certainly a person eligible for liberation. In the Vanashram institution, the fourth stage of life, namely the renounced order, sannyas, is a painstaking situation. But one who is serious about making his life perfect surely adopts the sannyas order of life in spite of all difficulties. The difficulties usually arise from having too severe family relationships, to give up the connection of wife and children. But if anyone is able to tolerate such difficulties, surely his path to spiritual realization is complete. Similarly, in Arjuna's discharge of duties as a Kshatriya, he is advised to persevere, even if it is difficult to fight with his family members or similarly beloved persons. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas at the age of 24, and his dependents, young wife as well as old mother, had no one else to look after them. Yet, for higher cause, he took sannyas and was steady in the discharge of higher duties. That is the way of achieving liberation from material bondage. So before I start the class, I would like to ask who is not familiar or not so close familiar with Bhagavad Gita? Somebody maybe doesn't know it? Once it closed. Oh, very nice. Thank you for admitting. It's a good sign, you know, that you're honest persons. Because usually we have the tendency to cheat and we want to look better than we are. So it's really nice. Okay, so when I was preparing for that class, I found there's especially two topics coming up. One topic is that first of all, Krishna explains to Arjuna how we are not the body. Like to give a brief summary of what happened until now, Arjun is supposed to fight on behalf of his brother Yudhishthira Maharaj, who happened to be deprived of his kingdom, you know, from his like brothers, you know, from another mother. So somehow they were sent into exile and everything. And then ultimately it came to this huge battle of Kurukshetra, like it's a war, you know, family war. And then ultimately he realizes, just before the battle is about to start, everybody already blew the conch shell and, you know, the drums and everything. So it's like really dramatic scene. And then just Arjun kind of collapses, you know, bewildered, because he realizes, I have to fight against all my family members and my teachers, all my authorities, all my beloved persons. How can I do it? I'm not interested to gain the heavenly kingdom even. What to speak of the earthly planet, you know? Because they were like Maharishis, they also had like a good attitude, they had spiritual knowledge. They were not only for the sake of winning or something, you know? They were fighting for the sake of the truth of religion. So, and then, because he was so soft-hearted, at one point he just got overwhelmed from his family attachment. Like in this verse we hear, it's very difficult to enter in the fourth stage of life, generally for the common man, in the sannyas order, because one is too much attached to family and friends, right? We all know it. Actually, we derive great happiness and pleasure from our close people, friends, relatives, so. And Arjun, just imagine he had to fight against all of them. And practically, like, only two handful of people survived the whole battle. It's like so many millions of people died, you know, within a couple of days. It's really amazing. So he was overwhelmed, and then at one point he realized, actually, yes, I'm overwhelmed, and I lost my composure and my good intelligence in the discharge of my prescribed duties because of that attachment. And then he surrendered to Krishna. He said in text 7 of the second chapter, Shishyastehang Sharimang Tvam Papannam, now I surrender unto you, I want to be your disciple. And he wanted to stop friendly talks, because Arjuna is one friend of Krishna. It's like one kind of loving relationship, one rasa, which one can have with God, with Krishna, is friendship. And so he was in that rasa, but then at one point he just decided, okay, now I don't know any further, please, you instruct me. So their relationship switched, and he became the disciple of Krishna. And Krishna, for the sake of all of us, he's explaining now the spiritual knowledge, especially in these verses, like the verse before, Dihinus minyata adehe, Kaumaram yovanam jaratat harihantara prapti dhiras tatra namuyati. Krishna explained how the soul is actually not a body, but it's like transmigrating. No, he's saying, as the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. So now in today's both verses, he's giving some more detailed insight into that, what actually it means. So in the first point is Krishna explains to Arjun and to us how we are actually not the body. Because we can have some idea, some philosophy, you know, yeah, I know, I'm the soul, I'm not the body, but do we act like that? This is the daily proof. So, you know. And then the second point, which is emphasized by Srila Prabhupada in the text 15 in the purport, is the means to realize that, generally known as sannyas. But as we will see in the due course of this class, it's a little bit more than, you know, just the fourth order, actually, what is demanded of us. Are there questions until now, or can I continue? Okay, everything's clear. If you have questions, please don't hesitate. You know, then we can consider them. So, first of all, every one of us is trying to find some pleasure, isn't it? I mean, even the great ancient philosophers, you know, like Greek philosophers, classical Greek philosophers, they are also looking, okay, what is happiness? And they had like different conceptions about it. Also we, in our daily lives, we're looking, okay, what is happiness? Né? Do I get happiness in family life, or I have some cute children, or in my hobby, maybe, or in my work? Né? Where can I find fulfillment? And so there's different conceptions where we can find actually happiness. And I want today to look, maybe at one of the first steps, is it really possible to find real, lasting happiness on this material platform? Like, when we consider ourselves to be the body and we act in the, everything in relation to our body. So first of all, in order to get this happiness, we need three things. First of all, we need to know it. We need to know what actually is happiness. What does happiness consist of? And then also we need to find it somewhere. Means we have to go on a way, you know, and be prepared. And then get it, you know. Usually to get it, like when we want to have some gold, we want to purchase gold. But when we don't have an idea what is gold, maybe we go to the butcher or somewhere, you know, and we ask him, oh, can you please give me some gold? Then for sure he will be cheating us, you know. So we should have some conception what gold is. Then we need to go there and we need to pay the price, right? So a very important thing. So so the real nature, as it is said here in this verse, is sukha dukkha, of happiness and distress. I would like to look at that, because usually we consider that happiness is very pleasant. We just accept, we don't want to renounce happiness, right? But this kind of sukha, we will see, is not actually happiness. Why not? Because actually it makes us lame. It is makes us lazy for self-realization to have too much comforts, right? And Krishna, he's even saying that also in Bhagavad Gita, that one who is too much attached, he does not develop this firm determination, this need, this urge, you know, for self-realization. So in this sense, and also it is binding us to karma. When we want to enjoy the fruits of our activities, then continuously we have to go and continue to journey on our to the samsara, repeated birth, death, old age, disease, you know. And it's mixed. It's not that we can get pure pleasure here. Always there's some suffering there, isn't it? So let us think if this kind of happiness, if this is really it. And Srila Prabhupada, he also says, he compares it to a dream. Actually, it's very interesting. He says that, like we, all of us, we have experience in our night that we have some dream. But then it tends to go over very quickly, or at least in the morning, and then we forget already what we were dreaming before. We were identifying, oh yeah, I can fly in the sky, or I'm big king, you know, riding on a chariot, or some tiger is coming, or whatever is there. But Srila Prabhupada is saying, these dreams, they are just for a few minutes, maybe a few hours only. And in the same way, this material dream of us, like, you know, considering ourselves to be the body, which we actually not, which is Maya, illusion, this is only a dream which is a little bit lasting longer. But it's also temporary. It's of the same temporary nature. So then, to understand dukkha, or suffering, actually, suffering, so-called material suffering, is quite good. How is that? One might ask. It is very good because it helps us to realize that this material world is dukkala emashashvatam, is temporary and is full of miseries. You know, even if you have some nice relationship, like my father, he left his body 1 year ago in June and I had some very loving, close relationship with him. And so I, you know, kind of miss him still, you know. But it really, this reinforced to me that point that actually everything is temporary. It can be so nice, but still, suffering will come, today or tomorrow. You know, so this kind of material suffering, dukkha, actually is quite good because it helps us to become enlightened and detached from matter. So it's quite interesting point, isn't it? Like, you know, our consideration of happiness and distress materially is actually switched around. It's vice versa. One is saying this? Yeah. So we just have to know for certain, you know, it is like that. And if you don't trust me, please go in your own lives, look on a daily platform and check it out. It's really good, you know, to study Bhagavad Gita and then approach the Bhagavad Gita, because there's such a nice index with all kinds of, like, things which one can come in due course of one's life, you know, in the daily activities, and one can just approach it and see, okay, what is in it for me? How can I understand it now? Actually, it's also recommended, Shastra Shakshus. We should learn to see the truth via the eyes of the Shastra, because this our eyes are very much dull, actually, you know. How much we can see, even if we are so much puffed up about our eyes. No? But even if we switch off the light, it will be dark. So what can we see when it's dark? Nothing. No? So not so some people, they need the spectacles or something. That's so much limited, actually. So we should learn by seeing the truth by the ears. Shastra, Shruti. No? That's why it's so important to read the Shastra. Okay, now that we considered the real nature of happiness and distress of material life, we can consider the nature of the material and of the spiritual world. No? Okay, every one of us, we understand that this place, as it is described in the 15th verse, is mritadva. It means it's a place where birth, death, old age, disease, all these miserable things are there, even though we don't like them. Right? We don't like to die or to become sick. Even a headache is enough to give us so much trouble, isn't it? Such a disturbance. So, what actually are we looking for as soul? No? This is also being reflected in our daily activities. All of us, we're looking for some knowledge, right? We want to get the news and learn something, some new science, and, you know, study something very deeply. Also, we want to be happy. No? As we explained before, every one of us looks for happiness. And also we are eternal. The soul is eternal. And so naturally in our daily life we look for that. But these qualities are also to be found only in the spiritual realm, not in the material realm. Because this is like, you know, like one dream. The dream is also not true. In one kind is like this temporary manifestation of material world is true, but it's not true due to its temporariness, practically. It's not everlasting, like the soul. And that's why we are so much disturbed when somebody dear to us dies or becomes sick, and then we pray immediately, oh, please become good, or we cook something nice for the person that, you know, we want to help him. Why? Because it's completely unnatural for us to suffer. So we have to understand where to get real happiness is not here in the material world, but in the spiritual world. That's why we need Shastra, otherwise how we can figure it out on our own. Daily experience. It's not like that. It's completely other way around. Okay. Then, the next step is that I should know I'm not this dream, Srila Prabhupada says. I am fact, spiritual fact. So I have nothing to do with matter. This is a nice point which we need to like meditate upon. This means self-realization. And this is what is mentioned in this verse, you know, this you know, the means to get there is to equally tolerate happiness and distress. Like, be neutral to it, kind of. Don't consider it too much. And Srila Prabhupada explains that dualities, like good and bad, they are simply concoctions of the mind. He says that, you know, in material world, we think this is good, this is bad. And actually he says, no, everything material is bad, nothing good. So why? Because it binds us to karma. No? We continue this illusory existence here, in a place where we are not meant to be, which is not our natural surrounding. Like if we take a fish out of the water, he's very comfortable in the water, but when we take him on the land, you know, he will die, you know, he's in a complete anxiety. So actually in a similar state, we should know that we are here. Only we are so numb, so covered by illusion, because Maya, potency of the Lord, is very powerful. It's one, you know, godly energy. So that's why we don't feel it. But we need to feel it, and it's good to feel it. Like in the modern world, generally the tendency is that we don't want to see, you know. Like once I was sitting in the train, in a tram, and then there was one young man sitting there, and he was completely sad and depressed and everything. I was, you know, kind of, you know, on the other side, I could see him, you know. And then when another friend of him entered, he came in, and then immediately, you know, he put on his mask, oh, I'm good, you know, I'm happy, you know. And I was thinking, you know, such a bad thing, actually, because, you know, why you cannot say, okay, I'm actually not good. Because then in that way, you know, people can finally come to understand, actually, yes, I'm suffering. I don't want it. It's not my natural position. So this kind of cheating propensity, you know, is keeping us away from self-realization. So it's good to be honest. Of course, one has to be, like, you know, practical, and, you know, but for oneself, one can think, you know, and observe one's own habits and learn from it and study Shastra. So then, then we know the way, Shastra Shakshus. It means when we study the Holy Scripture, especially this Bhagavad Gita as it is, by Svayamgriha Srila Prabhupada, because it is coming down through a pure and uninterrupted disciplic succession, we will gain the most out of it. Because there are so many Bhagavad Gitas, but not as they are. They are interpreted. Right? Some authors, like Ruth, with some self-interest, they want to have fame, you know, or money, or followers, or so many things. But Srila Prabhupada didn't. And actually, in his purpose, he is always quoting the previous Acharyas. And this is the way, how to receive Shastra. Acharyovan Purushu Vignisama. Anyway, we should Mahajanu Yenagatasa Pantaha. Now, we should follow in the footsteps of the previous Acharyas. And Srila Prabhupada, being an Acharya himself, he is doing that. He is showing how to behave properly. Like Jesus Christ also, you know, he was teaching by his own example. So we need a pure authority in order to get the pure knowledge. And a pure heart also ourselves. Honesty. So then, now we know the way and the price, you know. When we want to purchase something, we have to give another thing for it. And Srila Prabhupada, he also comments on it very nicely. First of all, it means that one has to act according to the rules and regulations, as we heard in the purport, right? One has to follow his prescribed duties, no matter if there's some, you know, Srila Prabhupada says, climatic inconveniences, but it's not only climatic inconveniences. You know, so many times we just, you know, maybe come across, you know, we're doing some devotional service and then we think, no, this is too much, you know. Until now I could tolerate, but this is too much. I cannot tolerate it anymore. And then, you know, we are just like stopped, you know. And then this is exactly the lesson for us. It's like Krishna's gift, you know, for us, how to become more tolerant and more humble and learn something new. It's all about letting go the false ego, surrendering the false mentality of being the enjoyer, controller, right? How often, maybe we thought, at least in my life, I thought quite often, you know, that, no, this is too much, you know. Until here is okay, but, you know, Hare Krishna. And then I stopped going to the temple and was suffering like anything until my Guru Maharaj, you know, he kind of saved me, placed me back in the service, and he said, you know, be humble, just cling to the service. It's not important what this person has done to you. Not the person is important, but devotion and service is important. So it's quite interesting. Huh? So then we know the price also. And then to get the thing, like happiness, right? To get it, we need, first of all, consideration. That the first consideration should be for self-realization. And Srila Prabhupada says, therefore, Vedic civilization is very simple. Right? Vedic civilization lives like very plain, living in a village, having some cows or, you know, some like nice living, you know, not so artificially working in some factory and, you know, having all this headache. And then in order to find relaxation, one needs to go somewhere far away, many thousands of miles in some vacation. Usually you have everything around you. You are with nice animals, nice green, you know, scenery, and then the rhythm of the nature. It's already there, everything what we need. We just need to, you know, live simple and spare in this way so much time for self-realization. So therefore, he says, in the Vedic civilization, the first consideration is self-realization. Is this helpful for me to realize myself, or this is binding us and blinding me, you know, like material pleasure, karma. So, Srila Prabhupada says also to that point of applying, getting it, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Tivrena means very severe. We have to really go for it, you know, otherwise we won't get it. So often we heard that, you know, the only thing like which we have to have to get this devotional service is lauliam, is intense eagerness. And unless we don't have this intense eagerness, which is expressed in Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, in our endeavors, you know, we want to get it. So, you know, like when we make some material effort, we want to get a better position in the job or something, we have to endeavor like anything, right? And the same is in the spiritual life. We cannot expect that out of the nothing it falls upon us and then we are suddenly enlivened. It's not working like that. We also have to endeavor. Not only, of course, we need the mercy, mainly, but we also need to endeavor. It's a very important point. And Srila Prabhupada always stressed that point. So then, another nice thing Srila Prabhupada is saying, everything depends upon our training. I just need to search out where I wrote it down. Anyway. Oh, thank you very much. So, we need to train because we cannot expect to get the most precious jewel very cheap, right? We can become free from all, we can solve all our problems, birth, death, old age and disease. So we should not expect that it's like cheap, you know. We need to do something for it. And this something is, that is coming to the next point, that we should learn how to renounce the false conception of being the enjoyer. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, Prabhupada, this is a spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, he says that when the jiva develops the spirit of independence, he is forced to come to the material world, where he enters into various types of pity and undesirable behavior that create a fearful situation for him. So this spirit of independence, right, I'm thinking that, oh, you know, I want to enjoy. I don't mind what, you know, I don't care what you're saying. No, I want to be happy, you know, independent from Krishna. This spirit of independence is actually the root cause of our bondage here. So we have to surrender that, actually. And so this is mainly is happening is in the mind, right? Because the mind is the master of all the senses and it is supposed to be under the good intelligence. So with our intelligence we can study the books which we got and then lead our mind, discipline it, to act according to it, not to act whimsically on a sensual mental platform, thinking, feeling, willing, but we have to perform our duties. And Srila Prabhupada again and again makes that point that without deviation one should stick to his duties. So, then the second point, maybe I can, do you think I can continue a little bit? 5-10 minutes? Because I'm a little bit already over time. I'm sorry. So the second point is the meaning of sannyas. This is very something very much from my heart, which I researched, and I hope it will enlighten you as well. Because usually we think, oh yeah, this is, you know, not for me. It's, you know, so late in my life, you know, in the renounced order of life, you know, in the fourth stage. Because before, there's brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and then sannyas, right? In the Vedic culture. So we could think that, oh, this is not for me. But actually, it is for all of us. And it's not only late in our lives, it's for immediately now, for this time application. So why it is like that? In the sixth chapter, in the second verse of Bhagavad Gita, the meaning of sannyas has been described. Krishna says sannyas means yoga, or linking oneself with Sri Krishna. This is actually real sannyas. And this is very natural, of course, that because when we know our constitutional position to the Supreme Lord, that we are eternally His servant and He is our master, He is the proprietor of everything, right? Then we cannot consider ourselves to lord it over the material nature. It's not possible. Then we are naturally servants. So, and then we need to act accordingly. It's not only like knowing this constitutional position, but learning how to serve. So then, being situated in real spiritual knowledge by studying the Shastra, Shastra Chakshush, and applying it, one chooses all material sense gratification. It means then we lose the taste. When we apply the instructions that we read, you know, we follow it and we do it, then gradually the taste for sense gratification will diminish. We will gain a higher taste, a taste for Krishna. We will become attached to Krishna and get some taste from chanting His holy names, reading His books, associating with the devotees, so many nice things, dancing and singing in front of the Lord, taking prasadam. It's a joyful process, actually, for everyone open. So, and then, the real aim is actually to give up all selfish satisfaction and be prepared to satisfy Sri Krishna. You know? This selfish satisfaction is also very interesting. I just go to this chapter, sixth chapter, because just the verse itself is just... as I feel is about that point. So Krishna says, actually, one verse before, Sri Bhagavanu Vacha, Anashvita kamapalam kayam kamakarotiya sasanyasicha yogicha na niragniya na chakriya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in a renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no duty. Because Arjun, first of all, he also took that position that, you know, better I renounce my duties. You know, I live as a beggar in the forest, because he didn't want to fight. And he was misusing the Krishna conscious philosophy, you know, knowledge of Krishna against, you know, performing of his duty. Like, you know, it's not good to do that. And then Krishna, he told him, no, you're a kshatriya, you have a specific nature, so you have to perform your duties, and but you do it for me. And this is actually sannyas also. Even it's not like officially one is in tridanda or something, you know, and orange robes, but the mentality is there of sannyas. And this is actually what really sannyas means. Like that we understand that we are not entitled to enjoy the fruits of our activities. We are meant only to serve. You know? And in that way, like Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely an example, he says, like the hand is part of the body. Right? So the hand is meant to serve the body. Like I need to work, you know, I need to go shopping, to cook something, to, you know, eat, and then ultimately, you know, it will be nourished also by the stomach, right? Because it serves the whole. Like when the hand wants to enjoy independently, it cannot, you know. The food will deteriorate, you know, if I just hold it long enough, you know. Or, you know, I become too weak to anymore eat it, you know. So it's not possible. So in the same way, the hand is meant to serve the whole body, the soul is also meant to serve the Supreme Lord, because it's part and parcel of Him. And in this way, we can derive great pleasure, the greatest pleasure possible. Because, like in the spiritual realm, there's two kinds of happiness, so-called happiness. One is, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma. This satisfaction of the self, Prasanna Atma, one reaches on the liberated stage, Brahma Bhuta, when one considers himself to be spiritual, Brahman. It's not identified anymore with this bodily conceptions. But the acharyas described in Nectar of Devotion that this, like a whole ocean of that happiness gained from this Brahma Bhuta platform, which is very joyful, you know, is compared to a drop, you know, completely insignificant drop, you know, when you compare it to the loving transcendental service of the Lord, Bhakti Yoga. There's Ananda. This is the quality of the soul. Satchit Ananda. So it's very important. So then, the criterion of success in this sannyas is the satisfaction of Krishna. Acting Krishna consciousness without the view to enjoying the fruits of one's work. So and then, one example is that Kadama Muni and Devahuti, they were very, like, Kadama Muni, he was a very great sage, very renowned, who lived somewhere in the forest, you know. And Devahuti, she was the daughter of Svayambhuva Manu, great, great king, you know. Svayambhuva Manu, not just an ordinary king or something, you know. So she was used to live like in a palace and very comfortable. But then she heard about the glories of Kadama Muni, and then she decided, I want to marry him. And she was ready to voluntarily accept tapasya, you know, renunciation, like austerity and things like that, to be with him, because he was such an elevated sage, devotee. So, but she married him, or they both married, for the purpose of self-realization, not for sense pleasures. Because very often we come across the mentality that we think, oh yeah, if I want to have sense pleasures, you know, I can enter the Grihastha ashram. And, you know, there's a tiny tinge of truth in it, because there's a concession for the Grihastha couples, like to live together, to enjoy, you know. But this concession is actually meant for restriction. You know, we should not make misuse of it. You know, it's to gradually understand that this will not help me to gradually become, you know, lose the taste and let it go and find the pleasure in something else. So this is, you know, in a similar way, the Vedic scriptures, they say that in some Puranas you can like offer like a goat to Goddess Durga or something, you know, if you want to eat meat, you know. But then you have to tell, there's so many, you know, restrictions to it. You have to chase, first of all, the goat in a dark night, you know, no moon. You have to find out that goat, but it's such a trouble, right? Then you have to kill her yourself, you know, and before killing her, you need to tell her, you know, this time I'm going to take my life, and then next life you can take my life in return. So it's kind of becoming conscious about what one is doing, right? But this kind of restriction is meant, of concession, is meant for restricting ourselves so that gradually we can come to our senses and understand, ooh, it's not good. Actually, it's not the best what I could do. So in the same way, there might be some concession for sense gratification in Grihastha Ashram, but this is not meant for indulging in it. There's no rectification, you know, oh yeah, I'm Grihastha, no problem, I can enjoy like anything. No, because in this way we will just increase the comforts of our life and spoil this very valuable lifetime. And who knows, you know, maybe in the next life we become like a dog or, you know, a worm or something, and then we have to go again to 4,300,000 species of life. Okay, so maybe I should stop here now. It's quite a long class. I'm sorry. I'm still in the process of learning. Are there some questions or comments? Oh, I'm sorry. Too many things. Yeah, I tried to this time to make it more organized. Yeah, so I need to, you know, reduce it even more. I'm sorry, but if next time you're coming and I'm speaking too quick, please just make notice, you know. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's true. But it's difficult, and I have to have this, you know, all around vision. Okay, maybe someone else has some comment or question? Yeah? God consciousness. What do you understand?
God consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Because in samadhi is complete absorption.
Complete absorption. Yeah. Yeah. So, what is God consciousness? God consciousness means that we should understand that we are not the enjoyer. You know, we are not God, practically. You know, we should understand our constitutional position. So God realization in one sense is the same as self-realization, but one has to know that there's two things, is quality and quantity. So we are from our nature is the same quality like God, but in a very minute quantity. It's like when you have some ocean, you know, and you have a drop of water from the ocean, the drop of water consists of the same quality like the whole ocean, you know, like if you want to, you know, search out, okay, what it is consisting of, then immediately you can get some understanding, okay, the whole ocean is like that, and, right? So in the same sense, becoming self-realized means, first of all, to know that we are not the body. And this we can only learn by developing knowledge and by doing some practical devotional service, as we heard before. It's not just that sitting in some chair, we can speculate, it won't work like that. So we have to do something for that. And then we can actually come to know who is God, who are we, what is our, you know, purpose of life. It's okay like that?
Yeah, it's okay. I have my own interpretation, but it's not opposed to you.
Ah, okay. Actually, the Shastras say, you know, that only God, you know, he's chalking out the path of religion. You know, we cannot, like, kind of, you know, create our own ideas, you know. It's like fixed already, right? Religion means to connect, you know. Yoga means connection, and religare from Latin means also to reconnect with our origin. So basically it means the same, like we heard today, sannyas is the same, it's connection with God, like you're saying samadhi, you know, completely being absorbed in him. But first of all, we need to understand there's a whole science. You know, it's not that my imagination can understand what is God. Because we have so many defects, you know. We have the spectacles, and then we need the light, you know. What we can see with these limited senses. We have the tendency to cheat ourselves, others, to be an illusion, to make mistakes. With all these imperfects, empiric knowledge, based upon our own experience, sensory and mental, is not sufficient to grasp the absolute truth, because everything here is relative, is full of dualities. So first of all, we need to understand that. And then by accepting some higher authority, like we are doing, we are accepting Srila Prabhupada, Parampara, these holy scriptures, we're studying them submissively, we want to learn, you know, inquire, observe. Then it becomes revealed. So it's not like subject matter of our concoction. Okay, thank you very much for your attention. And hope there was something inspiring in it for you. Kantarat Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.